You know, the other day I was driving along here thinking, I'm really bothered by the law people, that the senators and all these guys. They're not reading the bills, and they still pass them, or they argue about them, like everybody's complaining because nobody's read the immigration bill yet, and they passed it, but they don't even know how to complain about it. And I was thinking, you know, everybody's getting upset about that. But I bet you the very same people get upset about that have a very critical attitude towards the King James Bible. Have they ever read it? No, they haven't ever read that thing. So they're doing the very same thing that lawmakers are doing. It's no big deal. So I can't wait for somebody to tell me, you know, they don't even read the laws before they pass them. Well, tell me, friend, do you like the King James Bible? No. Have you read it? Well, no. Well, how do you know you don't like it or not? Kind of a thing. So it's the same thing. So, whatever. There's no different out there as it is in the churches here. Here we go. Let's go to Galatians tonight. We're going to look at something a little different here. By the way, the sermon notes are already up. And the sermon notes from Sunday are they're finally up. And not having school, I should be able to get these things up ahead of time, or at least fairly quickly anyway. We'll see. We're moving. We're moved and we're settling down somewhat. So it's a good thing. I still like to stay up to like 2 and 3 in the morning and reading stuff and typing stuff and doing my schooling stuff, but listen to my little finches and meadowlarks out the window. I think that's an old person thing. Sit around here and let birds entertain you. That's not a good thing. So tonight we're going to look at, I'm going to review a verse I want to emphasize in Galatians chapter 5 before we get into anything. A lot of distractions last week. Are we still on? Is the sound still working? And the computers aren't blinking out and Pal Talk is working? Yep, good. How about that? No cam, just to see if that helps any. We have such a slow speed out of here, but I think that was the problem. Galatians chapter 5, we had talked about, we talked last week about why people are just quitting and they're just kind of leaving and going away. And leaven. We talked about leaven. And the more I thought about it, you know, this leaven thing is just a bunch of gas of the world getting inside us and making us to be those fluffy, gas-filled Christians that look like a good, nice loaf of bread, but we're not real, you know. I don't know why I come up with those things. So anyway, going back to those verses in Galatians chapter 5 here, let's go to verse 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Neither one. Whether you're circumcised, it's not the point at all anymore. It's just like you baptize or not baptized. Doesn't matter. That's not even the issue anymore. The issue is faith. But faith which worketh by love. Then he pops this. You can't say this any better than God says it in the King James Bible. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? So he's talking here about leaven. And who is it that's leavening us? What's going on? As we talked about last week. But I like this. Verse 8 says, this persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. We know that's the Lord that calls us. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I love this verse right here, 10. Slow down. Okay, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. That's a marvelous confidence to have in somebody, that as a pastor or the preacher or the friend or the mentor or whatever, even a father towards his kids or family or whatever, to have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. In other words, this leavening is going to go after us, and we know it. We don't know when it's going to go after us, unless we stay in that King James Bible. So we talked about. But I like this verse. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Sure, if he's a Christian, then his judgment seat of Christ will still affect him. But I like this next verse even more. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? So here's Paul. He says to us, and this is the whole gist. We have people I know of that are going back to the world. They're going back to the community. They're going back to other people. They're going back. Now that we don't have to be so Pauly and all that kind of stuff, and Paul says they have grace and love and mercy, so let's us all go back. And here Paul says, listen, if I preach the crucifixion, if I preach circumcision, which is what these guys are preaching, you need to be circumcised. Paul says, listen, if I still preach circumcision, you still be mad at me. I still suffer persecution. And we go back to these people, we go back to these places and these activities. Why, is it going to make it easier for you? No, it's not. They still know what you believe. They still know how you dress. They still know that you don't believe what they're doing. And they know that you're back there just kissing up a little bit to be back. And they know better. Paul says the same thing. If I preach circumcision, you're still going to hate me? You're still going to persecute me? So you might as well stick with that's the truth. It goes down to the bottom, that she cannot do the things that she would. And we're trying to patch things up over these years with some folks. They're going to patch things up with their friends and family and community. And it's not going to work. Because Paul said, again, if I preach what you want me to preach, it's still not going to work. So these pastors and this pastor who's going to preach stuff to make people like it, it still isn't going to work. Because Paul is still offensive. The risen Savior is still offensive. Dressing modestly is still offensive. Doesn't matter. So those are some pretty good verses, I thought. Then I jotted some thoughts down here. So really, if people just realize that once you know the truth, you're stuck. You can't go back. If you do, the people still know better. And it doesn't do you any good to back off and go back. You think it makes you feel better? No, we'll see that tonight. Here's some thoughts for you regarding this leavening things. I was thinking, you know, women today dress like whores did, you know, not that many years ago. You've got the colors, you've got the painted stuff, you've got the tight clothes, you got the less clothes, loud, bold, you know. Wasn't that long ago that if you dressed like that, you were, you know, it's just not the way it was dressed. Prostitute-y looking things. But now that's what leaven has done. We got respectable ladies, supposedly, dressing like that. You know, people have to put on jeans like they put on nylons. It's amazing. Then I've got here some more thoughts. Even the old folks, they're dressing like they never would have dressed 50 years ago, 60 years ago. They're watching TV they never would have watched. They're listening to music kind of a thing. Look at pierced ears. How did that get... I was reading even a history about pierced ears today, and even the world says it started with slaves. And I didn't know this, but when you wear two earrings on one side and you got a chain connecting them, that's symbolizing slavehood. So they still do it. It's weird how people do that sort of a thing. Now they're piercing body parts and more than one earring in your ear. You got hidden messages. I think if you wear it on your left ear or right ear, one of them, you're queer or something like that. They kind of talk. I don't know. And the men are wearing earrings, and you got these people that they have their babies that pop earrings on them before they spank them when they're born. It's amazing. You got men dressing too tightly and acting real feminine. There's not hardly a man anywhere that'll fight for anything anymore because they go to jail if they do, I guess. You remember the charismatic church movement years ago was full of women. Now there's a bunch of male as well as women in there. I won't say men, but there's a bunch of males in there. You see these old people today, these old guys with gray hair and ponytails. Come on, you wouldn't have worn a ponytail when you were a kid. What are you doing now when you're old? So this leavening does stuff to us. We don't even know what is happening. You've got people that hated perversions, when they were younger, and now they accept it. So we get changed. Things happen to us by this leavening. Look at the music that we put up with, we allow. We can't even go places without hearing the music that we wouldn't have listened to 10 years ago, 5 years ago. We've got music in our churches. We've got music in our hymn books in our churches, our Bible-believing churches that are charismatic. They're Bill Gaither. They're Dottie Rambos. There's all this modern garbage. We may like the song, but that still, Paul says, if the guy's got the wrong testimony, we shouldn't be singing that stuff. That is a tough call to make. But sometimes it's a tough call to make. Otherwise, no, it's not. We wouldn't have had Keith Green. We wouldn't have had Keith Green. We wouldn't have had Steve Green. We wouldn't have had Amy Grunt. We wouldn't have had Sandy Fatty. We wouldn't have had any of those people if we'd have stuck to, if it's not King James, we don't pay attention to it. That's the only issue you needed to say. These guys aren't singing King James. Okay, dump them. And they would have died. But we didn't do that. So look at this. How many people today have grown up not knowing there ever was one Bible? They think this one Bible is a new concept. It's a new teaching. It's not. It's been around. It's amazing. So that's just some more thoughts I had in this leavening thing. And I like those verses. I like to say that. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. You're not going to change your mind. You're going to stay and you're going to fight this leavening that's happening to us. And it's pretty tough. It just, time seems to have its toll. The skirts go up, the tops go down, they get tighter, you get fatter. Whichever one you want to call it, it's still immodest. Blame the clothes, blame your eating. It's still immodest. I don't know. What the world does, Christians want to do too, I suppose. And we'll see some of that more here tonight. And so tonight, that was my little hors d'oeuvre meal there. Tonight, let's go here to Philippians. And we're going to, remember we did the last one Sunday night, we did the things about avoiding and withdrawing and not having company with and all that stuff. And you know, that's, from my experience as pastoring, if I was pastoring anybody, at least I was the position of a pastor, and I stood in the front box up there and did my thing, that the stuff that people don't like about Paul is the walk. And we've kind of, walk is like a four-letter dirty word to a Christian. And it's hard. For us, it's hard for most of us to avoid, to withdraw, to have no company. Sometimes some of you folks out there in the web land or whatever don't even have the freedom to do so. I have to be around who I have to be around in school. I remember years and years and years ago, and not that many years ago, it would have been 15 years ago, when I was teaching in South Dakota before, the fifth grade teacher was as queer can be. And I confronted them about it, and I put some tracks in the lounge, and it just made a big stink in the school, and I can't do that. So that the principal solution was take all the reading material out of the lounge. Instead of, she couldn't take my stuff off, so she took all the reading material out. And who knows how many squares are teaching in that school today? You know. So my point is we can't change the world. We can't fix all these things. God's going to do that with a burn and with his return, but. So sometimes we can't avoid, can't withdraw. I realize that. And yet these are pretty tough things. So some of that stuff about avoiding are Paul, people that aren't following Paul. Nice people, good people, Christian people supposedly, you know, family, parents. I mean, how far do you go with this thing? Well, you see, you know, I know some folks that went quite a ways with it, and it's very, very tough. So why is, here's some thoughts. Why is it so hard for us to make those kind of calls? Well, one is we're getting tired of people around us being stirred and hateful and offish. O-F-F-I-S-H. We're tired of that. We get wear down. Hi, how are you doing? You get ignored. You stand around the relatives and nobody talks to you. You go to the store, which we ought not do. Some of those stores are pretty crummy places for anybody to be into, but you're around some of that stuff and they know who you are. That's why Paul even says, like I said back in Galatians, you can go back and be the way they are. They know. And they're still going to reject you. Unless you publicly deny Paul in the King James Bible, and they still probably won't accept you because they know you're still faking, whatever. So we're tired of that. We get tired of no results when we try to tell somebody about Paul and the risen Savior. We get tired of that too. One of the things about studying Paul and the King James Bible is that we realize that we need to make some changes in our lives. So, listen, if we can't change some of the things in our lives on January 1st, every year, New Year's Resolution Day, why do we think we're going to change them now? Well, there's more reasons for it, but we're not capable of making our changes on our own flesh. So we quit. We give up because I just can't stop doing this. And so you quit and you go back to the world here. Something else. Paul makes us stay on our toes when we are around other people. I mean, you can't say that you're a Paul-following Christian and risen Savior and King James, Tusha kind of stuff. I'm sorry. And wherever you attend, I guess, and then go downtown and act stupid. Go to the field and act stupid. Go out there and play in the world. You can't do that. Paul says, well, you can't go out and do that. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Slow down. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Our flesh doesn't enjoy the ways of Paul. Our flesh enjoys the ways of the world. Our mind enjoys the ways of Paul. But our mind doesn't enjoy the ways of the flesh. But our flesh does. Ways of the world. Our mind is weak because we hardly read our Bibles to stay strong. So those are some reasons we go backwards here. Some other reasons here is some folks are not even that strong on Paul anyway. They still don't get it. They don't realize. They think it's about do and don'ts, and they think it's about that. No, it's not about this. It's about pleasing God instead of yourself. That's all it is. Christ has taken care of everything for us. All we have to do is do right to please Him for that. We're very ungrateful, unthankful, selfish Christians when we do things for ourselves knowing that He doesn't approve of it. Not that He's going to do anything about it. He's just going to say, well, it'll burn up in the judgment seat. You know, I guess that's what you want. That's what He doesn't chastise us. He doesn't go after us. You know, but that's part of Paul is growing up. Ephesians 4, 16, I think it is the winds of doctrine, like a child blowing us around. So if you get solid on your doctrine, you know some things that you need to be not doing anymore. So then you fight the flesh. Then, so you know, Paul, all it is learn how to please God now that you can. Then we also know that the devil wants to wear us out anyway in Daniel 17:25, wear out the saints. So that's it's working. We're just wearing down in some cases. We don't have church for the encouragement. We don't have people around to encourage us to keep going. And, hey, that looks really nice. That's very modest and da-da-da-da. And we get what we get nowadays is, oh, that's, what are you dressing like that for? Why are you wearing those things? Why are you doing that? Where are you going? I just can't do that. All this kind of junk. So in Philippians chapter 1, verse 10, here's what we're going to do tonight. Those are the things that we've talked about. That was probably still too fast, but whatever, as they say. Philippians 1:10, that you may approve things that are excellent. See, that's with Paul, you can find out what's excellent, what pleases God. That you may be sincere. And you can be sincere in doctrine, you can be intelligent with doctrine, but are you a sincere enough Christian that your walk changes and you keep it from going backwards? That's a sincere Christian. That Bible says, for doctrine, for reproof, a sincere Christian can take the reproof. A sincere Christian can take correction. And a sincere Christian can take instruction in righteousness. But the real sincere Christian will make those changes and do those things. So, we're going to talk about partaking. You know, we're not to partake with this, we're not to partake with that. And I thought we would look at something kind of interesting here, because, you know, we don't want to do things that we want to go back to the world. People want to go back to the world. They want to partake with things. Well, a quick review. Look at Romans chapter 13, if you've got your Bible there. Romans chapter 13, verse 12. And says here, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. Okay, so we need to cast off some of this stuff. And you can come up with what's the works of darkness. It's the world. It's what the world does. It's not God-pleasing stuff. That's works of darkness, okay? And so we need to cast those things off. Okay, so you did. You cast off the clothes thing, and you put on the good clothes. You cast off the attitude. You cast off the dirty jokes. You cast off, you know, whatever. You put on the armor of light, okay? Then he says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Then he says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. Who's them? These people that are deceiving people with vain words, and they have to be dealing with lost people because this deals with the children of disobedience. So, the wrath of God is going to fall on these people because of the vain words that these talkers are doing. Those are the people we're supposed to stay away from. Can you think of who that would be? Well, it would be pastors, it would be relatives, again, that are teaching false doctrine. Vain words. Vain words mean they're pumping them up. They're flattering them. Everybody likes them. They're happy people. They're liars is what they are. But they're giving vain words to these people. And as a result, the wrath of God's going to whack on them one of these days. And those are the people we're supposed to not be partakers with. Now, why is that? Look at verse 8. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. So why should we do that stuff? Why should we not partake with the fruit, with the works of darkness? Because we're no longer of the darkness. And again, this whole thing is coming about because I know people after people. You know, I don't have to snoop to find out who's going back. All you got to do is read Facebook, Stupid Book, Farce Book, Smart Book, and you can find out what Christians are doing. So, you know, I don't have a church here. I've got people out there. Just get on the internet, read some of this stuff, and you know what people are doing. I hear. That's what's going on here. And why is it important? Well, it's important because we're supposed to preach and teach this stuff so it doesn't happen to us. Brian and Peter and Patience and Sam and Bob. I see Bob Revis. I hope he's listening to us. Bob, are you there? Type a yes if you're there. Floyd's down there in Savannah, Georgia. And yeah, we don't want to fall for this stuff. But I'm sure we're being picked away little by little. Hey, Bob, you're there. All right. So, there's some things not to partake with. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15, verse... Now, these things that we're not supposed to partake with, and these things that we're supposed to... Whoops. That we're supposed to avoid, makes us sound very arrogant and very, you know, prideful, conceited. No, that's not the point. We're going to be around these people, but to partake with them is different. To have fellowship with them is different. To be part of what they do is different. To be there and to see them, you know, we can't crawl into our little basements and ignore all, the world is where the world is. But I'll say it again. Paul tells the men to go out into the world and the ladies not to. So men are supposed to handle this stuff. But we are going to be around these things. We just don't have to participate with them. That's the different thing. And I won't get into specifics there, but I hope that rings a bell, because I'm at school, but I don't participate with them in all their activities the school does and stuff like that. I don't have a desire to. There's nothing common with me. I'll teach the kids. So there's a difference in there. So be careful. Don't make this thing like the Great Commission crowd, who are very conceited, who think they are doing good enough that they don't want to be around us unless they can get us to do right. No, there's a different attitude. We're not talking about that. Romans 15, verse 31. That I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of all the saints. That I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Paul prayed that I don't want to partake with those that don't believe. He doesn't want to be around them. Yet he witnessed to them when he was around them. But it was his purpose not to be around them. He prayed in Thessalonians, finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified. Okay, so in order to get that word free course and to be glorified, you've got to be out there to tell people that. And he also still says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith. So, yeah, we're supposed to stay away from some of this stuff. We're supposed to be away from this. We're not supposed to participate. We're not supposed to partake. And like I said, so many people are tired of that. They're tired of the hassle that comes from not partaking. They're tired of being lonely. It makes you very lonely sometimes. Isn't that right, Savannah people? You're pretty lonely not having anybody else out there to encourage each other and to talk about this and something you read in your Bible. I enjoy the release I have as a preacher on the internet, because I really enjoy the fact I could explain Galatians chapter 5, verse 10 and 11. I know some folks that really ought to be encouraged by those two verses. Maybe they didn't see it on their own. I mean, I'm not God's prophet. I'm not God's hand. But the preaching is there, and I enjoy being able to tell people what I've learned. We go to Romans chapter 7. We see that we're delivered from the law. So we don't need to partake with the law. Get that into our system. This whole law thing. Gospel law, commandment law, Old Testament law, revelation law, tribulation law, whatever. And then it says in Romans chapter 8, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. Well, so why do we want to partake in the bondage of corruption? That's the world that's out there. It's bondage. It's funny. People think that they're doing their own thing when they go out into the world, independent, but when they go out into the world, they're doing everything the world tells them to do. The world tells them how to dress. The world tells them how to behave. Tells them what they have to do to go to school to get a job. You can't escape that stuff. And you're not independent when you go out there. That's just funny. The fact he even says in Peter that they promise them liberty when they become more corrupted and in bondage than they ever have been. Who did we lose? Something blinked. Did we lose somebody? Or, let's see here. Mark, Brian, Peter. I saw that thing blink. But anyway. Okay. So here's my statement. Everybody is so burnt about what they can't do, who they have to avoid, where they can't go, what they can't partake in. The word tonight is partake. And he tells us things not to partake in. Not to partake in the bondage of corruption. Not to partake in the law. Not to partake with those that have no faith, the wicked and unreasonable people. He tells us not to partake with the works of darkness. Not to partake with the people that speak vain and flattering words. We're not supposed to partake with that. We need to partake within the community to make our point, because they're not going to believe it anyway. So my point tonight is this, and I'll finally say it. What are we supposed to partake in? Well, it's not even that. We are already partaking in something. We already are partaking. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and that's what I want to dwell on tonight, believe it or not. Not what we shouldn't partake, not who we should avoid, but let's look at what we're already partakers of. And maybe this will help us stay away from the things that we're not to partake in. If you haven't got the freedom to make those choices, at least talk about it. And maybe you can be a witness and a testimony about those things that we are not supposed to be doing. We have liberty, I know that. And all things are lawful, I know that. But we also know that they're not expedient and they're not good to do and cause other people to stumble. It's just an occasion for your flesh anyway. Did you do it because it was just fun? I'm still begging this word, fun and enjoy. You know, yeah, you could do anything you want, but was it just for the fleshy fun, or was it something God gave you to enjoy? Or is it something that's going to burn? Quite often we're satisfied. Well, it'll just burn, but it sure was fun, you know. I know somebody that had some major surgeries recently, and there's no way he should have been on any kind of heavy-duty carnival rides, and did a big, great, big, huge carnival ride that was really not safe to do, and said, yeah, my doctor would have hated it, but sure was fun. That's how we are. God hates it, but sure was fun, kind of a thing. I'll deal with it later. So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 21. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. We can't do both. You can't go out there in this world and do your stuff and have a party hardy with them and get involved in all the community activities and the sports and the plays and get into a play and go to these plays that are wrong and watch the movies, all this kind of stuff, and still say that you're a Christian, you believe in this, and you believe in the risen Savior, and you want to read King James Bible, and you want to live a different life, because those things are going to clash. You can. Doctrinally, you can, but your judgment seat is going to burn, and are you saved in the first place to even be willing to do that? You know all the questions there. But God specifically says, you know, you can have both. And I know it's in the Gospels, you know, serving God and mammon, but and you can't. Well, Paul says the same thing. You can't have the serve the cup. You can't drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil, cup of devils. You can't go to the Lord's table and the devil's table. And this isn't referring to communion. I mean, it kind of is in the context of the thing as a communal thing. But where do you go to get the table of devils? Where do you go to drink a cup of devils? What is he talking about? I mean, if a guy wants to be really picky, most of the communions they drink alcohol in their little whiskey glasses there. So are they not partaking of the Lord's table and drinking out of the devil's cup, alcohol? I mean, you know, that whole Lord's Supper thing is such a bogus smokescreen. So instead of whining what we can't do, let's look at what we are already partaking. Let's go to Romans chapter 15, number 1. There we go, number 1. Romans 15, verse 26. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. Okay? It hath pleased them, verily, and their debtors they are. Then he says to us, for if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, there, meaning the Gentiles, their duty is also to minister to them in carnal things. And you know it's talking about Gentiles towards the Jews, because in verse 26 he's talking about Achaia and Macedonia, which is Gentile, are given some contribution to the poor saints at Jerusalem. So as a Gentile that's supposed to be helping in the carnal things, worldly carnal things, help the Jews buy their rockets and their missiles and their guns, give them their food, help them with all this stuff. People keep going to these other verses about Jews, about Israel, supporting Israel, but nobody's ever mentioned this one. They talk about, we're supposed to be Israel's friend. That goes back to Abraham. It's Old Testament stuff. Okay, so the truth is there, yeah, but let's go to the right book to find out what we're supposed to do today. Because we're partakers of their spiritual things that they could have had, that they don't have, God gives them to us. So because of the partaking of the spiritual things that the Jews had for them, but they rejected, we are supposed to take care of them in a carnal way. There's a verse I wish people would spout out about taking care of Israel. And we're taking care of Israel less and less and less. Is it because of the Abraham verse? Is it because of Romans 11? No, it's because of Romans 15. Because we are partaking of the spiritual things that God had for them, we should take care of them carnally. And who's going to talk about that? They don't even know what spiritual things that we are partaking of that was made for the Jews. Does that make sense? So we are partaking of the spiritual things that God had for the Jews. We have them today. Now let's look at this, Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is coming to the Gentiles. For to provoke them to jealousy, now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them that are my flesh, and might save some of them. So what do we have that the Jews were given? The Jews had the opportunity for salvation. We are partaking of a salvation that was actually made for the Jews. So because we have that salvation, we should take care of them carnally, which America sort of used to do. If you have a Jewish friend around, I think we should probably do our best to take care of him, help him out, and be sure and tell him why. Barry Shapiro, when I remember, you rejected Jesus Christ as a Savior. Thank you, because now I have him. And here's $50. When I go, I have dinner. I mean, that's taking care of them in a carnal fashion. Maybe they'll want what it is that they had available and we got it instead. And they see how we're acting through Paul's teachings towards them. They would want to have what it was that they should have had, but they blew it when they killed Christ as their Savior. Does that make sense? So we're already partaking in something. We're partaking in our salvation. We already have that. Spiritual things, as they made partakers of their spiritual things. What comes of salvation? Oh, wow. Whatever Paul says, imputation, justification, sanctification, go through the shuns. King James Bible, we understand and they don't. The whole thing. All these spiritual things. Remember, Paul, the whole thing is about his spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God, not the earthly kingdom of heaven. So we're already partaking of the spiritual kingdom. Okay, let's do another one here. 1 Corinthians 10:17. We are all partakers of something here. For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Well, then we're all partakers of that one body. I'm so glad that the local church is not where the body of Christ is at, because we all on this internet right here, we'd be up a creek. We don't have a church body here. Near as I can tell, I'm one of the only guys in this whole town, except there is a newspaper Bible study about the Bereans, about they're writing about Paul and how to follow Paul. It's pretty interesting, because if I know where the Bereans are coming from. So if you dig deep enough, they're not, in fact, they even put a Greek quote in there this week, which is irritating. But is there somebody else in this town that's reading that article by Bible study about Paul? I hope to find him someday, them or whatever. So this one body, we're partakers of this one, we're all part of our body here. Romans 12, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another. So we're all part of ourselves, we're all part of this body. What are we partaking in? We are partaking in the body. We're all part of this body. So why is there such a schism? Well, maybe some of these folks really aren't part of the body. That's very possible. Because the gates of hell aren't going to prevail against that body, against that church. It's going to prevail against the local church, but it's not going to prevail against the body of Christ, that church. We're all members of his body. Don't understand it, but I believe what it says. Corinthians, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. See, look at a local church, and look at all the dumb stuff that goes on in local church today. The music, the way they behave, the way they talk, the way the ladies yak and just destroy stuff in there, the way the children behave, the way the men don't have any spiritual temperature whatsoever. They talk about raising crops and rebuilding their homes and they're remodeling their plans and their projects. And nobody talks about stuff they ought to. That can't be the body of Christ there. It's patterned after it, but it sure is a lousy example. So he says here, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Yeah, we're baptized into one body. That's the body of Christ. We're partakers of that already. See, these are all spiritual things. That's why people are going back. They don't want this spiritual stuff. They want this physical stuff. They want to have prosperity. They want to see their kids happy again. Well, why can you not teach your kids the happiness and joy of the risen Savior? That's kind of beyond me, but I guess I'm past all that. I'll never get a chance to try it again. Colossians 3:15 says, that let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body. So being in this one body, the body of Christ, that should give us that peace of God. We're amongst the world, sure we are. We're going to different churches, some of you yet, and you know it stinks. You know it's just crummy. You don't get any peace going there. I don't know why you go there then, but you don't have any peace in that whole thing. The peace comes from being the fact that we're part of one body. We're part of the body of the Patience and Bob and Floyd's and Sam and Peter and Brian and Adriana, if so, and Mark and all these other folks, Lucy, the folks that are out there that listen to these things, and we're all part of a body here if we put our faith in the Jesus Christ of Paul's teaching. And that's where our God of peace comes from. And one of these days we'll be out of this whole mess, but until then. So there's one. We're partaking in one body. Now here's another one. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is a little harder to partake in. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, That's something that we just don't want today. We don't want to suffer. We don't want to lose a job over this stuff. Not that we have to. We don't want to suffer. Why is not going to a dance anymore suffering? But anyway, whatever. Why is not smoking anymore suffering? Well, it's hard to quit. Well, okay, there's that. Why is there to not get involved in the community? Why is that such suffering? Well, when you go stand around somebody and they don't talk to you, yeah, it's lonely. It hurts your feelings. Well, don't let it hurt your feelings because you know why they're not talking to you. Maybe you made them feel guilty for how you're dressed. Maybe you don't laugh at their dirty jokes anymore. Maybe as a lady, you're quieter than the rest of them and it makes them feel loud and stupid. And maybe you're a man that wants to do some fighting and you don't want to be this wishy-washy guy. Maybe even a gun carrier for this physical thing aspect of it. Maybe you're a tea bagger, tea party person or something, and you're still concerned about the country for your kids, and you want to get out there and do something about it. Maybe that's the kind of people you are, and these people just reject you because they don't want to be around that. You know, you can't talk politics with anybody anymore. You can't even talk religion. You can't even talk education because it would involve politics and religion. What do you talk about? TV, movie stars, videos that you've watched. You know, when kids come up to you and they ask you, have you seen... No, I haven't, actually. I don't even know who the movie stars are today. Oh, really? What's the matter with you, Grandpa? Or whatever. Or Aunt, or whatever. I mean, why do we embarrass that we don't know what they all know today? Well, that's part of the suffering. But also, that verse also says this, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Now, let's go back in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's read all 10 of those verses. It kind of brings it all back into gear better. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's go to verse 4. Who comforteth us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted. So we're going to have trouble. Where do we get our comfort from? For the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And when he says whether we be afflicted, he's talking about Paul himself and his buddies there. It is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. Now, some people don't want to tell others that they're having some struggles. And Paul says, listen, how would you know God's victory if I don't tell you the struggles, kind of a thing. He says in 10, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, past, present, future. We're delivered out of the past, we're being delivered right now, and we will be delivered in the future. That's some good stuff. We're partakers of that sort of a thing. Then he says in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Okay, so yes, we are partaking of the sufferings. We are partaking of the loneliness. We are partakers of the frustrations. We are partakers of poverty, if need be, if that's what it's going to come about because of this. We are partakers of hassle, harassment. We are partakers of not watching something, even though our flesh says we want to. We are partakers of the fleshly frustration of the battle between our mind and our flesh. We are partakers of the sufferings of the battle between our flesh and the Spirit of God. And but we also are partakers of the consolation He's got there for us. Maybe that's part of the reason some people have gone back because they're rejecting God's consolation. They take the heat and they take the effort and all that stuff and they finally wear out. Why? Weren't they accepting God's consolation? Wasn't He there to comfort them? They didn't read their Bible. That's why. They still want this magic Jesus to come in and give them this little peace thing. It's like the Sandman going to come and sprinkle sand in your eyes, and Jesus is going to come along and sprinkle some peace in your heart. Yeah, you read your Bible for this consolation, for this comfort. I mean, here's a God of this universe talking to you, telling you, yeah, it's hard, it's hurtful, but I went through what I went through for you, Paul went through for you, what he went through, and these people, the King James Bible went through for what they went through, so you have a Bible. Now, grab these words, I'll comfort you with them, because in a couple of days, in a couple of years, or maybe tonight or whatever, I'm bringing you back, and we're going to have a great time from here on eternity. And he comforted us by telling us, by the way, that stupid thing you did, yeah, your husband or your wife or your mentor or your friend or family, they still haven't forgiven you for it, but I didn't even impute it. So just get over it and let's get on with life. That's where you get your comfort. I got to go to school here. Yeah, well, I'll take care of you while you're in there. I need to quit this job. I just can't do this anymore. I got fired. I don't have a house, all that kind of stuff. I'll comfort you through it. It's hard to explain, because if you lose a house and a job and you haven't got one for 5 or 6 months, like one of our listeners I know does out there, John, I know you're out there. I tell you, it's pretty hard. I haven't been through that. We're starting to settle down ourselves, because it's almost a year, the time that we ended up having to leave back there and to make our choice to go out, and it's been hard since. We're settling down again. That's a nice thing. But I still haven't had it like a lot of folks have it. No job, no nothing, no income, no ministry, no people, no, you know, the whole thing. The little that I had was still pretty scary. I can't imagine being worse than that. But the comfort is still in that book. So we're partakers of his sufferings, but we're also partakers of his consolation. Let's look at them two more now. They'll be done here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. Here's another one. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6. And this basically encompasses everything that we know about Paul. Because Ephesians chapter 3, verse 6 is talking about that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. That's the mystery of Christ. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. What are we partaking of? We're partakers of everything that Paul is teaching about the risen Savior. And if you ever read Paul's books about the risen Savior, then you don't know what you're partakers of. I know what I'm partaking in. I've got stuff in my flesh that's wrong. I got stuff in my life. We're always going to do that. We're not going to clean up our act like everybody expects Christians do today and then confess the ones you mess up on. No, that's not going to happen. It's going to take the word of the Spirit of God upon their flesh in the tribulation in order for them to walk properly, because they're going to have to. But God even knows they can't do it without the Spirit of God upon their flesh. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We have the Spirit of God that has separated us from the flesh. We're still inside this body. We still fight those battles every day. When we lose, it's not imputed. When you win, it'll come out in the judgment seat. So we're partakers of this stuff. We're partakers of this mystery that now exists. We're partakers of that thing that was in verse 5, while in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed. We're partakers of that. We're not living in the gospel days. We're not living in the tribulation days. We are partakers of Paul's gospel, the risen Savior's ministry, the mystery today. We're partakers of that. But you can ignore it and go out there in the world. You can go out there and play a bunch of sports things. You can go out there and do stuff in the movies. You can go home and you can watch all this stuff, because we can, but we shouldn't. But we do, but we shouldn't. Bad testimony. Well, who's perfect? We're wearing down. We're getting weak. Leavening is making us into little doughboy Christians. And the last one, Colossians chapter 12. Turn to chapter 12, verse 12. We'll do verse 11, and verse 14, and verse 18, and 3:24. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So see, we get to partake of the inheritance. But we have to notice something in that verse. We don't just suddenly become partakers of inheritance because we're being such good Christians. He says, made us meet to be partakers of inheritance. He's fixed things so we can actually be partakers of this inheritance. It isn't because we are suddenly walking good enough to earn this inheritance. He's made us meet. He's fixed it up so we can be partakers. Does that make sense? That's what that means. And he's had to cut our flesh away. He's had to not impute stuff. He's had to give us a Bible. And he's had da-da-da-da. So now we are actually partaking of his, we will be partakers of the inheritance when the time comes. We're already partakers and we can't lose it. But it's not because of us, it's because of him. He's made us meet for it. That should make sense, right? And we see here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, let's finish up these couple of verses here. Ephesians 1, 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. He didn't pick us, don't go there. That's how we designed it at the beginning. Verse 14, which is the current earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We know that by studying Paul. And then Colossians 3:24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. You're not serving yourself, you're serving him. Whatever you do to serve you burns up. Whatever you do to serve him, it stays. So, we're already partakers of things that are exciting. And if that's the case, and we realize what we're partaking with already, why do we want to partake in the community? Why do we want to partake in the works of darkness? The unfruitful works of darkness, he calls them. There's no benefit participating in all that stuff. There might be fun, but he didn't give it to us to enjoy. Let's partake in the things he gave us to enjoy, and we rescue those things that we are already partakers of. And let's do what he says in Romans 12, I think it's verse 1 or 2, with reasonable service, let's at least make our bodies a living sacrifice, which means we're alive, and we're going to do things that please him, and not us. And our flesh is pretty strong. Stay in the book. Do the best you can with it. There you have it. There's the stuff. And remember when he says in Galatians there, when he says, who's out there hindering you from doing the truth? Who is it? Identify these people and deal with it. And he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded. Partake with what we're supposed to partake with, and don't be otherwise minded and partake with that other stuff. And then remember when he says in verse 11, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? If we do partake in the worldly stuff, it doesn't accomplish the thing. They don't think you're any better. They're not happy to see you. They may say they are, but they're not. They still know where you go to church. They still know what you believe. They still know why you're dressed the way you dress. They still know that you're a King James Paul following person. You're not going to change that unless you just flat tell people. And then I also know some folks that are, because they advertise on Facebook, that they're going back into the world real seriously. The modesty is terrible. The places they're going are terrible. The things they're doing is terrible. And I can tell that they get very little response from anybody else. People know that you're rebelling. People know that you're flaking out. They don't respect you for that. They know that you're talking stupid all of a sudden. How can you believe that all of a sudden? Why are you reading that book, Age of Reason? That book, Age of Reason, destroys more Christians that are flaking out with their Bible than anything else out there. So, it doesn't work to go back to the community. When you got saved and you got away from the devil's table, you stay away from it. Partake with the Lord's table. And the rewards are eternal. And yet we all have our battles, just like Paul did. So, there you go.